talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And here we go. It is a Getaway Friday, first Friday in December 2018. You're tuned into the Exchange Club. Charlie Evers, Brandy Downs, and Marge Hazelett. And before we get to the program today, because we have been accepting Christmas cards, we got a Christmas card from Sharon Russell and Bubba Cat. Hmm. Now, the thing about this card is there's a picture on the front. The Christmas message is, to answer your question, no, I haven't been to the tree farm, and yes, the Lacklusters have one less pine tree in their backyard. But the picture, it says Sharon Russell, 2004, so I wonder if she was an artist.
Could have been.
Or did cards. Hmm. But Sharon, you'll get a card back. Thank you for sending us the card.
No, just send her a gift card.
A gift card?
Yeah.
Charlie, you going to pay for it? You can send her that poet hat that has a bite taken out of it.
Where is that hat that you used to have in here?
What hat's that?
It was a cone-shaped thing like this.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, well, yes.
No, I don't remember it. What was it about?
It beats me.
I had a cone.
It had some decorations on it.
Charlie?
Did George Casotas give it to you or something?
I don't think I ever had a cone-shaped hat in here. Marge, do you remember a cone-shaped hat? Marge has been here for 3 years.
Was it that hat there, though? Maybe that's what I'm...
What's a Christmas hat?
I don't know.
We can't... That's the Greek Christmas hat.
Greek.
Yes.
Okay, that must have had something to do with George.
Yes, that did come from George.
So that's a hat. I just didn't recognize it.
Kind of beat up.
I'm glad we've cleared that one up.
Yeah.
It's been here for 5 years.
It's got a star on top leaning over.
Because it's a tree. That's what that is. It's a tree.
Okay, but why does a star lean?
Because it's an old hat. The hat's been around a while. Here's some of the things we're going to talk about today because it's interesting. Oh, the only thing I want to talk about that has to do with politics is, you know, I watched a lot of the coverage of George Bush's funeral this week. And, you know, it really does throw back to a time when a guy, you had respect for a guy. This guy was the president. He was an honorable guy. He served in World War II, was shot down. He was married to his wife for over 70 years. He was just and became friends with the guy who beat him for a second term, became friends with Bill Clinton. And I just thought, you know, if politics could be like this, an honorable business, we would have a lot less no name calling,
nothing to talk about.
Yeah, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
Back in the George Bush days, we'd have to talk about Hollywood or something. But the Berlin Wall came down when he was president. The Soviet Union dismantled.
It was Reagan, though, that suggested the wall come down.
Well, he suggested it, but it came down under Bush. And he didn't brag. I love the story this week where they said, you know, President, you need to get over to Berlin. The wall's coming down. And he said, you don't go over and kick somebody when they're down. You know, you don't need to brag about this. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a brag. He didn't brag. He didn't call names. He was a respectable guy. And I'm glad he got his due this week.
Well, I think there's a lot to do with parenting back when we were growing up. And I think that that's something lacking today. I think the children parent the parent.
Well, you talk about changing of power. I mean, he was beat by Bill Clinton in 92. He wanted the second term, and he left that note for Bill that said, listen, I'm not one to give advice, but you are my president now, and I'm rooting for your success. That's a big man on the day he's leaving the White House and could have stayed if he had won the election. What are your reminiscences of President Bush, Brandy?
Oh, I barely have any. Time. I was a child.
Was it before your time?
I was a child.
He was a good, and he led the Gulf War, and he did the mission, and he had another country pay for it, that war. So he just was a good guy, gentle guy, good president, and there was something else I wanted to say there. But he was, I just thought the, George W. Bush. George W. Bush, who ranks among the low end of presidents and who had a lot of controversy and who's not a great speaker, his eulogy, I thought, boy, that was tremendous. He did a tremendous job. There's a lot of things George W. Bush didn't do a tremendous job with, but the eulogy for his father, he went above and beyond, and I thought that was very good.
Just think, he was talking to a school class when he got a phone call.
That the towers had been attacked.
Yeah.
So that's it. I think that's the only thing political, because there's a lot going on this week. Does anybody watch Channel 4? WCMH?
Not lately.
Okay. I was watching a show on there last night, and this was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life on their local news. It's their weatherman, Mazza, I think is his name. He's standing there next to Santa Claus. And Santa Claus says, "I get my forecasts from Channel 4. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Are they that desperate over there for people to get their weather that they have to bring in Santa Claus?
Wow.
Isn't that dumb, Charlie?
Well, that's it.
That's to the dumb end of things. I couldn't believe it. I had to rewind the show to watch that again to see if that's what I saw.
I watch Channel 6 mostly.
Santa does not get his forecast from Channel 6. He gets it from Channel 4. To.
Maybe Rudolph does.
Well, we're going to get into that because Brandy has an outright war on Christmas this year that we have seen on... You do. I mean, that she does. We're going to get to it. But here's another thing that this week... snow. Now, when any kind of snow is in the forecast, people go crazy. They lose their minds and they run to the store. And this is what I learned last night. Now, what do you think people buy when there's a storm coming?
Bread and eggs.
What'd you say, Charlie?
Milk and bread, bread and eggs.
No, you know what people buy in large quantities now? I can vouch for this.
Beer?
Peanut butter.
Okay.
Peanut butter. I turned to somebody after about the 50th jar of peanut butter last night, and I said, "Do I need to get peanut butter? Because this is what you apparently stock up on if a storm's coming."
Mm. Well, that's a good idea, though, when you think about it.
Yeah, but every tragedy now, I'm going to think, do I need peanut butter? Should I go buy peanut butter?
You could live on peanut butter for a while.
I don't really like peanut butter.
You
don't? No, not really.
It's delicious.
See, Marge doesn't like peanut butter either.
I have a question.
Go right ahead.
Being that we talk about tragedies, what happened now with your bake oven?
Oh, yeah. I still don't have a new oven yet, but the old oven is still around. Nobody's picked it up yet. But, you know, I wonder if that was peanut butter in the bottom that caused that to go crazy.
Either that or it might have been a fruitcake.
Oh, don't bring... That whole thing's a tragedy, too. Here's what I think. I think I'm just going to pay the $25 and skip eating the fruitcake. Because somebody... I can't really see, Charlie, because there's a Christmas tree
in
front of us.
Yeah, I can hide behind a Christmas tree.
Did you make a noise when I said that? Somebody called in yesterday and said they would give $20 if I would eat a fruitcake. A whole fruitcake. And then somebody else...
The whole thing by yourself?
Yes.
In five minutes.
And then wanted to somebody called in later on and wanted to pledge another $5 just to see me eat the fruitcake. I'm not going to eat the fruitcake. I don't like fruitcake. I think it tastes like wax lips and...
I don't know about wax lips.
Wow. There's too much anise in that. I can't stand...
Anise?
Yeah. Now, maybe peanut butter.
Not my fruitcake.
There's anise in fruitcake.
I wish there was. I love anise.
Well, it tastes like soap. They use anise to make soap.
No, they don't.
They do. They do.
You know, this is the most informative station I know.
There's no station like this.
No.
No, you will circle the globe and not find a station that's telling you to buy peanut butter for tragedies and that Channel 4... Santa Claus.
Out in the yard, too.
My oven's out in the yard. It's a whole thing. It's a big thing. Now, to get... Oh, we're getting a call.
Oh,
here
good.
We go. All right, let's see what the call's about. Go ahead, caller.
I called in yesterday to challenge him for the $20 on the eating the fruitcake.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to say that if we get other contributors, I'll put up another 20 to match whatever they put up. So now I'm gonna put up $40. I'll remove the time limit, but you have to eat it in front of Charlie.
Oh, Lord.
I'll give up to 2 days to eat it, but Charlie has to watch everybody.
That's
so
good.
I'm going to $40, and I'm challenging, and my name is Jerry Harris. I'll come in and give you the money. I'm challenging, giving you know, full day to do it, but Charlie's got a supervisor because Charlie's the only honest man we know.
Oh!
All right.
Where do the women play in this thing?
But anybody out there wants to kick in a few more dollars, I'll match another, up to another 20. So if somebody contributes $5, that's $10.
Super.
Thank you.
Oh, it's on now, Scott.
Now, who... who would pay $40 to see me eat a fruitcake?
Just to see you suffer.
Yeah, somebody wants $40 to see me suffer.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Maybe
I don't,
you'll find it's not that bad.
And now there's matching dollars on the table, too?
Isn't that something?
That's something. Oh. Who I would never...
Charlie, ooh, put someone up to this, I think.
No, listen, here's what... Nobody really... I mean, this caller, we have the name. What is the name, Charlie? You wrote it down yesterday.
Yeah.
Jerry Harris. That's Jerry Harris. Well, mm-hmm. Jerry, I appreciate your... I don't know what... cruelty. I appreciate your cruelty to try to force a fruitcake on me. But I don't think people really want to see this, Marge. Do you?
I don't know. I'm not going to get in on this.
You don't want to see me eat this fruitcake, do you?
I wouldn't want to eat it.
There you go.
I think we should do a Facebook Live. And
no, I don't know. No,
the fruitcake. What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think. Oh. I mean, that's nuts. $40 to eat a fruitcake?
Sure.
How about
in your
you?
Case? I would do it for nothing.
Well, you can eat it, Charlie. You can eat the fruitcake.
No, that's for you.
No, we'll see how that goes on. Yeah. I don't like that. I think the whole thing's a little skittish. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Ed Atkins. I'll put up another 20.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Well, thanks, Ed.
Yeah. I love fruitcake.
Yeah, Ed and I both. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Charlie on that. Now, I like the homemade best, but I love fruitcake.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Hey, at least nobody is offering to pay you to get married.
That's right.
Nobody's
going to
do that, no. Oh. Now, wait, this could be worse than that. Now, so how much is that for eating this fruitcake? So that's 40?
Oh, yes.
And
that's
then
a lot of money to eat a fruitcake.
Now, what was the matching thing that the first guy talked about, Jerry?
Matching?
Didn't he say something about matching?
I think he said if we can get other contributors,
he'll match this.
Then he will. Oh, I don't know if he said match it.
I don't know what he said. Well, it's lucky we're taping this
Jerry,
program.
Jerry, call back. We need
no,
to know
Jerry,
what
we don't want to hear any more from
is.
You, Jerry. Jerry, stay gone. Keep your eyes on the wheel and the drive.
But forget it. Now, all that money goes to
midget football.
Midget football.
I am willing to do anything for midget football. But I don't know that. First of all, I don't know that you can eat a fruitcake. Oh, the time limit's off. Okay.
Yes, he said he'd give you the entire day.
Listen, I don't think that this is a good idea. I don't, you know, nobody wants to see it. Here's what I really think. I think nobody wants to see it. I think that this is all a bad idea. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, good.
I still got that offer of my five. And making you a hot toddy if you eat it.
I'll but need
if
one.
If you don't, the $5 will go to the midget football.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yep.
So now we're up to $65.
$65.
That's next week, isn't it?
It is next week. Wow. $65 for me eating a fruitcake?
Oh. I need a nurse for sure. I'll hold your hand.
I'll need something, Marge, because I can't.
Marge, you can hold his hand. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. By the way, Jack Johnson will be there tossing a fruitcake next Thursday night from Al's Country Market by Judy. He was entered by Judy Summers. Melinda Johnson, Affinity Insurance, entered by Judy Summers to throw a fruitcake. Ralph Thacker, $5 for me to throw a fruitcake. I'll be glad to throw it. And then.
And throw it and eat it at the same time.
No, I don't think we're going to talk about that eating it thing. We're just going to just lay low.
Does it count
low.
If you eat it and then throw it after?
That's the kind of throwing that would happen if I ate the thing. See, I think this is one of those things that's snowballing in a bad direction. Nobody wants to see.
No, this is great.
No, it's not
for
great.
Midget football.
No. They don't want to see me eat a fruitcake.
I think they do. I think they want to see torture.
See, and this is the holidays, Charlie. This is not the holiday mood.
It's the dark half of the year.
This is not the holiday spirit. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I'll think about it. But I'm not committing to anything yet. So, anyway, what were we talking about?
Well, earlier you were talking about about eggnog.
Yeah, Brandy's going to poison people on Christmas Eve. Yeah. I'll put my money.
Brandy,
on.
Do you have these ingredients in your eggnog?
That sounds about right, yeah. Except for the bourbon. I can't give bourbon to my children.
But you've never made eggnog before.
I have never made eggnog.
And you're going to make it on Christmas Eve for the first time?
Well, somewhere thereabouts. Yeah.
Now, see, but you better make it early, because if you make it wrong and they get sick, you don't want
to
be.
They won't get sick. I used to work at microbiology.
Right,
so
but
I'm not going to make anyone sick.
But you're not an
eggnog.
You know what I'm wondering, too?
No.
Don't we, or aren't we supposed to cook eggs?
Yes, this is what I'm saying.
No,
microbiologist.
No. Getting salmonella from eggs is rarer than you would think.
Okay. You'll find out how rare on Christmas Eve when you're in the ER.
Think of the 80s, all those bodybuilders used to...
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah,
and
the
you know where
eggs.
They are now? Dead.
No,
they're all
not.
Dead. They died of salmonella poisoning. It was long-term salmonella.
No.
That's true.
No.
You don't make anything on the night of Christmas Eve for the first time and then try to serve it to people.
Sure you do. That's what Christmas Eve is for baking and cooking. And
throwing and IVs and all kinds of visits to the... The hospital's decorated quite nicely, so you'll be able to spend your holiday
we'll
there.
We'll be fine.
Okay.
Safe practices.
See, you're one of those people. Here's what I've learned about you in the weeks we've done
this. Oh, no.
No, this is good. You're one of those people who are hard-headed.
Yes,
and
I
you,
am.
And you just can't get it out of your head that there might be something wrong with your eggnog.
Well, there might be, but I doubt it.
Don't risk it.
That's what life's about, taking risks.
Is it?
Yes. What fun do you have if you don't take any risks
exactly,
ever?
Yes.
You take a risk every day when you get up.
It's just a drink.
It's just a drink, but it's raw eggs, and you're not supposed to do that. And everything's got salmonella in it now. Romaine lettuce and turkeys and eggs and cake mix. You're going to get a bad egg,
no,
and you're going
to
go...
No, look it up. I'm telling you, you're more likely to get salmonella poisoning from romaine lettuce than you are from raw eggs.
How do you know that?
I used to work at a microbiology lab.
More people got sick from romaine lettuce?
Yes.
No, they didn't.
Yes, you're more likely to get sick.
Than from a turkey?
Well, I mean, if you're... raw turkey is a different thing... than raw eggs. Salmonella is present in eggs, and it's present in poultry, no matter what, but...
You got it. And if you don't cook those eggs, you're going to get salmonella.
No, it doesn't proliferate just like that.
If you say so, don't say I didn't warn you.
Mind
now,
over matter.
It's going to be fine.
Oh, I did want to talk about this because a week from today, and then we're going to get into your war on Christmas because I think that's the interesting part. A week from today, we're going to air the special, The 10 Most Interesting People of 2018. Now, this will air next Friday, December 14th, 5:10 to 6 p.m. and repeat from 10:10 to 11. Now, I've interviewed 10 people, and I've ranked them as the 10 most interesting people of 2018. Now, I'm not going to tell you who the most interesting person is. You have to listen to the special to find out who the most interesting person is. But here's the list of interviews you will hear during this special, the 9 most interesting people. Tom Janod, he's the writer who interviewed Mr. Rogers, whom the Tom Hanks movie's based on. Mayor Schertzer, going to run for a fourth term as mayor in 2019. Mike DeWine, soon to be elected 70th governor of Ohio. Roger Stone, friend of President Trump, goes without saying what's going on there. You've heard of him. Mary Taylor, current lieutenant governor, on her way out. She ran for governor in 2018. Jim Blessing, grandson of President Harding, talks about the 95th commemoration of the death of President Harding this past year and who might have killed him. Does he think he was killed? He'll be on the show. Jim Jordan. Had a little scandal in 2018. He also won re-election from his time as a coach at OSU. Dennis Kucinich re-entered the scene in 2018, ran in the Democratic primary for governor. And Shayna Morris, the first female Harding High School student to receive a scholarship for college for wrestling. And I believe it's at Tiffin. So those are the 9.
From Tiffin.
Yeah, from Tiffin. Oh, but I have not revealed the most interesting person of 2018. Marge, who do you think the most interesting person is? Now, those are the 9, but there's one more that I think is more interesting than all of them. But you'll hear all their interviews
now,
on that show.
The Morris girl, is her father the one that works over at the Harding home?
No.
Is the history teacher at Harding?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Now, I may be wrong, but I don't believe so. Brandy, who do you think the most interesting person in 2018 was?
I don't know. I can't think of somebody who would be more interesting than having Roger Stone on.
That
was
good.
An excellent interview.
That was good. But there's one person who this past year, now it's just 2018, that I thought was more interesting, and I have an interview with them on the show, and it's the last interview after that special. Got any ideas, Charlie?
No, I don't.
Now, here, also on that day, that's on at 5:10. Now, from 6:10 till 8 p.m., I'm going to re-air the special that people wanted to hear last year, Destination Heaven. Remember this one, Charlie?
No.
Yes, I interviewed an atheist. I interviewed Bill Clinton's spiritual advisor.
Yeah.
I interviewed somebody who tried to commit suicide. And we all talk about where we go when we leave here. So that two-hour special, Eben Alexander, the doctor who says that the brain goes on after we die. So they'll all be on next week in the re-airing of that special, Destination Heaven, from 6:10 till 8 p.m. And, you know, when I did that special and did those interviews, I felt heavenly for a week. I mean, I really felt... You know,
I remember out of that whole interview, I remember what the rabbi said.
The rabbi, we had a rabbi on.
When
yes.
you ask him, what's the difference between heaven as concerned with the Jewish people or the Christians, or how you get there? And the rabbi said, you do good things on earth.
Well, the rabbi said.
And otherwise, the Protestants say, no, it's not the good things you do, it's the love you have for Christ and what you did.
Well, the rabbi has no belief in heaven. It's, this is heaven, and you try to make the best of it. And the atheist was interesting, and the evangelical was interesting, and the person who almost committed suicide was interesting, and a person who had a near-death experience. As a matter of fact, the person, Nick Busick, who had the near-death experience, who's in that special, died this past year.
Oh, really?
Interestingly enough. So, you will have to listen to that special. It's a heavenly special. You will feel heavenly after you listen to it, right after that special. And then to top off the night, we have got some of the favorite Christmas tunes you'll want to hear and the people who composed them. So when that special's over, at 8 o'clock that night, we will have interviews with Gayla Peavy, the original singer of I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Brenda Lee, who originally sang Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the third person?
Pat the Little Mermaid.
No, it wasn't Pat Carroll. Who was the third person, the third song?
I can't think.
Oh, my God. Oh, Dr. Elmo. Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, yes.
So they're all interviewed, and you will learn where all those songs came from, and then you will hear the song itself. And then at the end, we've got the girl who portrayed Carolyn Grimes, who was Zuzu in It's a Wonderful Life in the last scene with Jimmy Stewart, and she is also on the special. So that's a special day, December 14th. You going to listen, Brandy, while you're making your eggnog?
Sure.
You'll learn about the interesting people of 2018 at 4 or 5. Then you'll learn about heaven from 6 to 8. And then from 8 to 9, you'll get to hear all the Christmas music.
I'd like to hear you do an interview with the lady who wrote, what's the name? The Ohio State Marching Band, Hang On Sloopy.
Probably dead. That's been around a while.
There's a lady that wrote that.
Well, let's get to the big thing here. Brandy's War on Christmas that she's been having on Facebook ever since Baby It's Cold Outside was taken away, and now is being taken away at more radio stations than just Cleveland because it's suggestive, and Rudolph, Santa's a bully, that's nuts. Marge and I have talked about this.
Right.
And now you've went even further, taking all of
I
our
do
Christmas
not have a
traditions.
War on Christmas.
Go
no.
ahead. Go ahead.
I just,
talk about it.
I do not have a war on Christmas. It's just that when you look at older Christmas movies through the lens of modern society, you realize that there are some questionable things in these movies. That's all. I love the movies. I watch them every year with my children. I'm not telling anybody not to watch them. There are no boycotts happening here, but some of them are ridiculous.
What? What are we talking about here?
Well, which
do you
one
think
you
Santa's a bully?
Oh,
you did. You said
very,
that. You said
yes,
Santa was a bully.
He's very mean in the Rudolph movie.
No, he's Charlie.
Yes,
you've
he
seen
is.
This. It's been around for 60 years.
He's picking on some poor baby deer because of the color of his nose.
Now, speaking of the color of the nose, wouldn't Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer be a slam at people with rosacea? Those are people with red noses.
Oh, that's why people.
Or alcoholics.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, rosacea is more common.
I don't think that Santa's a bully, though, because at the end, he goes to Rudolph and says, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Well, look, there's a comment on my Facebook post about Rudolph from one of my friends who said that her father every year goes on a big rant during the movie talking about how everyone hates Rudolph, everyone makes fun of him, everyone ostracizes him until they need something from him, and then all of a sudden, he's great. But until that moment, they don't give a fig about Rudolph.
they don't give figgy pudding for Rudolph. No, because, you know, Santa's busy. You got to understand, Santa's stressed this time of year.
He's sitting around eating. His job is for Mrs. Claus to feed him in
that
movie.
He's supervising the elves. He's on Channel 4 doing commercials about they're the most predictable weather forecast. He's in every store. He doesn't have time to worry about
Rudolph. Not in that movie, he's not.
Well, the movie, you know, we all know that movies don't depict people like they really are, you know.
Well, that's the point.
Okay, but past that, you want to, what's wrong with some other movies and things of that nature?
Well, let's see.
Because you've done one every day.
Yes, well, that's the thing. In December.
You're trying to tear down Christmas brick by brick.
No, enjoy your Christmases, everybody. No.
Fruitcake by fruitcake. which is similar to a brick, by the way.
Yeah, Scott's clearly not tearing down your Christmas because he won't eat the wall of fruitcake. So.
No, there's only one fruitcake that goes around every year, and I don't want to eat it.
Every December, my kids and I, we watch one Christmas movie each day from December 1st to December 25th, and it's not always all the same movies. We throw some new ones in every once in a while, but we have a core group that we watch every year.
I was looking at your thing, and I'm just waiting for you to make it around to Ebenezer Scrooge. There's all kinds of trouble in that movie. Oh, my God.
Well, what do you think is troublesome about
that movie? I don't know.
I don't.
Scrooge is not a bully? Oh,
well,
my God. Oh,
but that's the point of Scrooge.
Yeah, but you would probably call children's services on him. If it was you, they'd have to have somebody arrest him.
No.
But the ending of that story is so neat.
Yes.
Well, but isn't the ending of Rudolph neat? That he
How does Rudolph end?
Huh?
How does he end?
Santa says, can you guide my... Scrooge is kind of a selfish story. He's going to end up in shackles and chains like Marley, so he just, well, I got to be a nice man so I don't end up that way. That's a selfish ending.
Scrooge is a redemption story. He also has to be generous in the movie in order to redeem himself.
He's not generous in that movie.
At the end, yes, he is.
Oh, God forbid.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I would like for everybody to do what I did when I heard about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all that. I have a shirt that says, what's one... Have a holly jolly... Well, no, wait a minute. Maybe it's cold outside?
Yes.
I have a shirt like that. Everybody wear those shirts.
I couldn't agree.
Pardon me?
I couldn't agree more with you.
Yeah. Love the show. But
thank you.
People are stupid when it comes to
Oh, I agree. I agree. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. You see, Brandy?
No. Look.
The callers are with me on this one.
The point of Scrooge is that he has to be a jerk in the beginning in order for there to be a redemption
He's
story.
He's an old
There's
man.
There's no reason for Santa to be mean
now, wait a second.
To Rudolph.
Scrooge is an old man, and he's been rude for 70 years of his life.
That's
so
true.
For the last 2 years, he decides, I'm going to be a nice man so I can get into heaven. He's like one of those prisoners who gets redemption at the end of their life.
Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I'm really tired of the people nitpicking about all this stuff.
And, I agree.
And if you don't like it, don't watch it. We've watched this stuff for years. And as far as the older man, he goes into rants every year. Well, something's wrong with him. He keeps watching it every year and doing this. And I wish they'd just keep their thoughts to themselves. It's almost like these TV reporters that do all this stuff, tell you, you know, everything, almost what to think and everything.
I agree.
And the kids hear this, and then they start, you know, thinking this stuff. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Just turn it off.
Turn the channel.
And things. And I can't believe that they're saying this stuff. I just can't believe it.
I know. Thank you, caller.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The point is not that we don't enjoy the movies.
But you make it sound like you don't enjoy.
Well, some of it is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, right? I mean, clearly I was making fun of some things on my Facebook page that I don't actually think. We watched Home
today's?
Alone.
What's today's horror?
Oh, today we're watching Gremlins.
Is that a holiday classic, Charlie?
Gremlin?
It happens during the Christmas season.
It's about a 1950s automobile.
This was a request from my son.
That's not a holiday movie.
It is.
It is?
The gremlin for Christmas, I think. Yeah.
He gets the gremlin. The gremlin's an evil little thing that it's...
No. I mean, they can be evil, but
I've
little
seen gremlin.
Gizmo is not evil.
Gizmo's not a gremlin. Gizmo's, they call them something else, and then when Mugwais. You pour water on them...
Yeah.
Gremlins aren't... nobody wants a gremlin for Christmas. They're evil.
But Gizmo's not evil.
Gremlins kill people in that movie.
Yeah.
You watch this with your kids,
bad.
Huh?
Yes.
People
well,
getting slaughtered by little animals.
No.
Merry
I'm not
Christmas.
Saying that anyone shouldn't watch these movies. Like I said, we watch them every year. We love these movies.
What's wrong with Home Alone?
Oh, my God.
That was, you know, that, by the way, is the biggest grossing holiday movie still of all time.
It's an excellent movie. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
I love it. The second one, I actually like better than the first one. When he's in New York and Tim Curry, who I think is a tremendous actor, plays the bellman at the Plaza Hotel.
Right.
I just think the second one is far better than the first one. That's that one rare time that a sequel, I think, was better than the first one.
But
go ahead.
It is a very strange movie.
No. The parent, the mother is just grief-stricken that she's left her son at home.
Yes.
But the kid defends his house after he goes to church.
But do you think... yes, but... you know, it's one of those things where there's somebody who's trying to rob your house, and as a result of that, you get to physically torture them and punish them in whatever way you see fit for thievery?
No. Well, you can't be breaking into people's houses at Christmas time.
Well, no, you can't. You're not supposed to.
But why is that a bad holiday? A holiday movie's got to have a plot.
I didn't say it was bad.
What would the movie be without the criminals? They forget the kid at home. The kid goes to the grocery store. The parents find him. The end. You got to have a like Scrooge.
Yes, you do, of course. And all of these movies have to be seen through the historical lens of the time in which they were made, of course. Like I said, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but if you think that Kevin McAllister didn't need severe counseling after that incident, and then they leave him again in Home Alone 2.
Oh, that's it's busy airport.
That poor kid.
But look where he ended up. He ended up in New York at the Plaza Hotel. I ditched my family in a second to go stay at the Plaza for...
Oh, he was so sad.
No, he wasn't. On their dime, and he got all the room service, and
no.
Oh, got
he
to go to...
He was terribly lonely. He ended up with... Pigeon Lady.
Remember, he went to FAO Schwartz, and that old Mr. Duncan gave him, what was it, 2 turtle doves? Oh, that's a... I might go home and watch that tonight. What about Ernest? Ernest Saves Christmas? You gonna knock that one?
Oh, we don't generally watch that one. For some reason, my kids don't enjoy Ernest.
That's the only Ernest movie I like.
I liked Ernest Scared Stupid. Oh, I thought that one was
Eartha
hilarious.
Kitt's in that. And Eartha yep. Kitt sang Santa Baby, and Eartha Kitt died on Christmas Day. How about that?
Hmm.
Yeah. But Scared Stupid I don't like, but the Christmas one is funny to me because Santa has to find a new Santa because Santa's getting old. And that's the whole thing of the movie. So, whatever. But you'd probably take a splash on that one too, wouldn't you?
Well, probably. I mean, why not?
But what else don't you like? Do you think we should ban Baby It's Cold Outside?
I don't think we should ban any of them, no. I don't think we should ban that Baby
song,
It's Cold Outside.
Have you heard the song, though? I actually went back and listened to the song. The song is a little... I mean, he gets her a drink, and she's saying, I shouldn't have a drink, and she says something about her old spinster aunt, and he says, don't worry about it. It's a weird lyrical song. I can understand why they wanted to ban it. I think it's stupid to ban it.
Right.
But if you go back and look at the lyrics are kind of really strange.
Yeah, they're strange. I never thought anything about that song until it was brought up, you know, why they wouldn't play it. I never looked at it in that manner.
Well, she keeps trying to get away from him, and he's offering her drinks and saying
it's such a friendly get-together, really.
Ricardo, it was...
For okay. 60 or 70 years, I never thought anything bad about that.
Song, I think it should be played because now it's a standard, but the lyrics are strange. I mean, when you analyze the song, they are a little different.
And that's the point of what I'm doing on Facebook is that we watch these things or we listen to these things, and they become a part of our culture, and that's it. And we don't think at all critically about them after a certain point. They just become habit, right?
Even though you say you like A Christmas Carol, you're going to knock it.
No, I'm not. I told you, I can't find anything wrong with A Christmas Carol. I love
Dickens. That's the worst one of all. He's underpaying Bob Cratchit, and he's mean to his business partner, and he's mean to the people in the city. Bah humbug, bah humbug.
But it's not about what happens in the movie. It's about the things in the movie that we don't generally look at with a critical eye and say, wait a minute, why is that in there? It's obvious why Ebenezer Scrooge is a jerk the whole of A Christmas Carol.
What don't we understand about Rudolph? Rudolph was different, and Santa didn't want a different reindeer.
So
that's
what
logical.
Why, though? What was the point of Santa being mean in the movie?
Because
he had everyone else to be mean to Rudolph.
Rudolph has to have redemption at the end. You know,
the song says, the song never says Santa's mean to Rudolph. It's always about the other reindeer.
It'd be 18 stanzas if you tried to go through it. What the whole point of that, if you didn't have Santa being mean, it'd be like 5 minutes long.
No,
Santa'd walk in and say, it's foggy outside.
Santa just comes in brief moments and he's like, I'm not... You got to do something about this, Donner. And then he goes out, and that's it. But you have all the conflict actually happens not between Rudolph and Santa. It happens between Rudolph and the other reindeer.
Why is it odd? What I don't get is the oddity. I mean, the whole movie of a movie is a plot. You've got to have a plot.
Yes, but how does Santa being mean expand upon the plot? Is what I'm asking.
Well, they were probably short on time and had to kill some time. Why
can't you just add some more scenes with the reindeer being mean?
Wasn't the mother in Home Alone mean to the boy? The whole reason he got left at home is because she sent him up to the attic.
Yes, she did send him up to the attic, and they all blamed him, even though every single person in that family was being awful.
Yeah, but we also learn from that experience that the mother. Her heart gets opened because of it. Now he's her favorite child at the end.
Sure.
Same thing.
And he may grow up to be a sociopath.
Sociopath? No, well,
I mean,
Macaulay Culkin grew up to be something else.
I don't want my kids shooting people and you know, flaming their heads with torches and dropping hot irons on them.
He's protecting the house.
But why?
Well, why do three ghosts visit Scrooge?
Well... Yes, but is
I mean, have you had a ghost visit you on Christmas Eve?
No, that's fantasy, right? They're all fantasy.
Aren't they all fantasy?
Yes, and I get that, but for example, the Santa Claus, right?
I don't like that movie.
It's a movie with Tim Allen.
I never liked that, do you?
I have no problem with the movie. Again, we love it. We watch it every single year, but I cringe a little every single time during the scene where he takes his son to the restaurant on Christmas Eve after he burns the turkey, because you watch it and you look, and every single person in the restaurant is a dad with his kids, which sort of furthers this whole idea that men somehow are incapable of cooking and taking care of their children. And it's silly. Of course they can all, you know, they're adults, right? I mean, don't trust Scott. He'll catch it on fire. But your oven will catch on fire.
That wasn't very nice. That was about killed a few weeks ago, and she's making light of it.
But
Merry Christmas.
But I think that, you know, men are completely capable of
being good
fathers who can make a happy Christmas Eve for their children without killing Santa.
What about Elf? Elf sings Baby It's Cold Outside.
Goodness.
We're going to ban that thing soon. Now, Charlie...
I was just thinking, all the authors that composed
all
these...
They did.
Yes, but did they make any money? Yes, they made millions.
They made millions.
Because of all the people that love to watch buy the movie.
Charlie, what movie is your favorite Christmas?
I don't know if I have one. I never watch movies. I have watched the one with Jimmy. What's his
it's
name?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I've watched
that's
that
my
one.
Favorite. It's probably not just my like favorite. That
the other
movie, it's my favorite movie of all time.
The other favorite is the one that was a man. His last name. What was his? He was a ham radio operator originally. He did the narration of the most famous movie. The boy that was going to get shot by a BB gun.
Oh, Christmas Story.
Yeah.
House up in Cleveland.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
But have you gotten to the Grinch yet? Oh, my goodness gracious.
There's nothing to not like in the Grinch.
He's evil. He's a...
But it's not about that. Of course, stories have to have
plot,
and they have to have protagonists and antagonists. That's not what it's about. It's about the things in these movies that we sort of gloss over and take for granted, and we don't think critically about that sort of over time as society changes, they're less of the norm. So like today there's a big movement, we were talking about the Santa Claus, there's a big movement of, you know, not portraying men as, or fathers particularly, as dumb dolts who can't do anything, right? Like Everybody Loves Raymond. There was a big backlash against that show.
There was
a big backlash.
I must have been out buying peanut butter.
I know, me too.
Because, I was out getting peanut butter.
Because the men were angry that they were being portrayed as idiots who don't know how to take care of their own children or run their own households. And so if looking back at the Santa Claus through that lens, you see that that little trope is in there, and it's not a big part of the movie. It's nothing. It's not a reason to ban the movie or not watch the movie. I'm just saying, you know, if you look critically at these things, there's moments that make you go, wait a minute, that's just weird.
I like Scrooged with Bill Murray. I think if I can watch that every... You just shook your head no. Brandy just shook her head, this is radio. What's wrong with that one?
It's just not my favorite.
It's a good one because...
We are watching it this year.
You should watch it because it takes it into current times. It takes Scrooge, you know, Christmas Carol, Christmas Story. It's Christmas Carol, isn't it? Dickens. Takes it into current times, and his old business partner visits him and says, you got to straighten up. Are you going to go, you know, where I am? And at the end, he straightens up. It's a good movie.
Bill Murray's just strange to me.
Bill Murray's strange?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
That's the only Bill Murray movie I think I really like, is that one. But here's one for... Do you know, and you cannot tell by the way he's dressed, but in that movie, the guy who comes and visits him, he's all decayed and so on and so forth. Do you know who that is?
No.
It's a famous actor. John Forsythe is the guy. He's that decayed. It doesn't look anything like him. But it's John Forsythe who comes back and does that, who was on, Dynasty. Dynasty, I think, was the big show he was on. But I don't think we should mess with these movies or these songs.
Not saying we should mess with them.
But, you have a war on Christmas
going on
your Facebook page.
I do not.
You do, a war. A war on Christmas.
No, no.
It's sad.
Christmas is fine. Enjoy your holidays.
They all have happy endings. Is there a Christmas movie that has a bad ending? Like Miracle on 34th Street. Oh, they put Santa on trial.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, looking back on that one with today's current culture, it is a little bit disturbing how they treat Santa, you know, thinking that he's mentally ill. They just put him away, never to be seen of again, right?
You know what's strange, though, is that It's a Wonderful Life. People have redone that story so many times that everybody'd be better off if I wasn't here. And then you look at life as it was when you weren't here, and then you want to be here all of a sudden. And they do the Christmas, you're visited by three ghosts, and you find out everything's wonderful. Those are the two that people steal from all the time. That's the Christmas story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Jimmy Stewart, he was going to commit suicide. People leave that part off. He's going to the river to commit suicide.
He is.
And that's not very Christmassy.
No, but it's not, again, not about it being Christmassy. The thing, I love It's a Wonderful Life. It's actually my favorite movie of all time.
You'll get to hear little Zuzu on the program.
And I will. I will absolutely listen to that.
Yes.
But, again, it's like a punch in the gut every time I see the scene between Annie and Harry in that movie. It's, just
Annie and Harry?
Yes, I don't know whether she's a housekeeper or something at the Bailey household. And then his little brother, Harry, they're getting ready to go to the big graduation party, I think it is, or something.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah. And, you know, where the pool opens up, they're getting ready to go. And Harry's running around and he smacks her on the rear with a towel.
Oh.
It's just the whole thing.
Watch out. Ugh.
I don't like it. Love the movie. I'm not saying
I think
don't
it's
watch
a nice
movie.
Movie.
It's a lovely movie.
But don't you think this is a little conflated, Charlie, before we leave this
conflated?
Program? Conflated.
I never heard that word before.
It's a little blown up. It's a little overblown.
Oh, okay. Conflated.
Don't you think?
That's interesting.
Again, yeah. Most of this is very tongue-in-cheek. It's you know, meant to just make you look at things with a critical eye.
Yeah, but
instead
I think,
accepting
but people are taking it seriously though. Radio stations now are banning this song.
One station.
No,
banned.
No, more have
more?
Gone
yes.
now.
Really?
Yes, yes.
It was
well,
one station in Cleveland.
That's why I'm doing this, and that's why
trying
I'm
to
doing
start
it.
Trouble.
No,
you're
I'm
trying to be the
doing
antagonist.
It a little bit tongue in cheek, so that people know you can look at something and you can say, oh, that's, you know, I wouldn't have put that in there, or I don't like that part, or whatever, and still not ask to have it banned. I would never go and ask to have Rudolph
well, song
banned.
Only 3 minutes
that station
long.
In Cleveland that started that probably had a big get together and say, hey, what can we do to get famous?
Yeah, it's probably publicity.
Yeah, stuff. It's all a gag. Publicity
yeah.
gag.
Because there are a lot of Christmas songs when you think about it that are, well, there are a lot of regular songs that are kind of.
But that didn't, the baby out, It's Cold Outside thing did not start this year. I mean,
oh,
that,
it's been,
people have.
When I was a little kid. That was
no,
a long time
no,
ago.
The
but
banning
the backlash
of it, you're
against
saying.
It did
the
not start
the
again.
The banning
this year.
Did not start.
Oh,
this
no,
year.
Just this year.
No, it started before
I thought
it
was just 2 weeks
the
ago.
The backlash against it, I know, started at least a couple of years ago.
Really?
It's
a song. It's not reality.
Right. No, it isn't reality. But there is something. It's healthy to look at something and say, ugh, you know, that's a touchy subject and bring awareness to those moments without banning the
okay.
song.
Now, what was one of Doris Day's most popular songs? Make Love to Me. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
You couldn't get away with that.
Nobody
today.
Protested that one.
Of course not, because this is all a little conflated and blown up,
yeah.
and we don't know. But anyway, that's where we're going to leave it today, and we'll come back. There's two. Oh, what do we got? We have two more Fridays until Christmas.
I think so.
What are we going to have to talk about? You'll tear down some more of our.
I'll let you know when
holidays.
We all die of salmonella.
Well, that'll be New Year's. That'll be the New Year's show.
That'll be the big headlines in the newspaper.
Yes.
Local family dies.
Local family
dies. Radio station is no longer in existence due to.
Are you going to bring some of this eggnog in?
Well, I don't think you want me to.
No, I really don't, but I...
Well, then no.
I'll probably be dead long before because of this whole fruitcake thing, which is...
You might choke to death on that, yeah.
Talk about conflated. I think you'll be okay.
I don't know. I don't know. It's jury's out. By the way, Bailey's. Do you know the Bailey's... what is it? The stuff you buy at the store. Bailey's...
Yeah.
That's
alcohol.
It's named for that movie.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life. So there you go. There's your factoid for today. Charlie Evers coming up in 10 minutes.
I'm looking up conflated.
Conflated. Now, yeah. See, you say it just like a southerner. Conflated. It's conflated.
Hmm.
Yeah. Enjoy your fruitcake. We'll be back.
Telephone number 740-389-3462. Central Baptist Church would like for you and your family to join them for worship service Sunday mornings at 11. Central Baptist Church located at 281.